I want to welcome everyone to Family Times Magazine podcast today. I'm Kelly Hart. I'm the publisher of Family Times Magazine, and I have with me a special guest today. Her name is Jenny Ranson. She's the Children's Services Division Manager for the Marion County Public Library System.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thank
we appreciate
you for
it.
Being here. Yes, I appreciate you all being here today. So I want to dive right in this morning and give our listeners a big oversight of all that the Marion County Public Library System does and contributes to the county. So give our listeners some history on the Marion County Public Library System. It's been around for a long time. We know there's now multiple locations and it has changed locations. So give us some history on the evolution of the library system.
All right. There were actually two libraries, lending libraries in Marion County in the late 1800s, in Ocala and Bellevue. In the early 1960s, the libraries in the Ocala system, Citrus County and Levy County went together and formed the Central Florida Regional Library, and that was in existence for quite a while. In 1964, the city of Ocala actually operated all of the libraries in Marion County. In 1987, Citrus County left that cooperative, and in 1999, Levy County left that cooperative, and that left us with the Marion County library system that we have now. And in 1997, the Marion County Board of County Commissioners became the governing body for the Marion County Public Library System. So we have eight locations currently, and Bellevue was in the 1800s, mm-hmm. Ocala was in the 1800s. In 1916, the Ocala location became a Carnegie Library, and that was there until 1969 when it was demolished and the new building was created. Well, the old library.
The old new building,
right. The old new building. And in the headquarters Ocala Library, we have the cornerstone from the Carnegie Library and two chairs that were actually in the original Carnegie Library here.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So that was there until 1969. And then in 2004, the library, the headquarters Ocala Library, moved to its current location on Silver Springs Boulevard. Bellevue got a new facility in 2008. Dunellen, which was actually founded in 1955, got a new building in 2008 as well. And then in 1996, Fort McCoy, Forest, and Marion Oaks joined the Marion County Public Library System, Reddick in 1988, and Freedom in 2000. And one of the things to note about all of those locations throughout mm-hmm. the county is that most of those locations were created as a response to a community that either already had a small lending library and wanted library services or just needed library service.
That's some really good history. I mean, I've been in Marion County my entire life, and I think I really only remember back to when the library was downtown. And remember going there and getting my library card and checking out books. And I thought that was, you know, an adventure when we would get to go to the library. And so
it's always an adventure.
It is.
To the library, Kelly.
It absolutely is. I know. That's what's so exciting about it. And that's why we have you here today, so we can talk about all that the library does, even just beyond books. I would also bet, based on the amount of locations that you have and services that you provide, most people would have no idea just how large of a team it takes to operate the different locations and all the programs that you offer. So give us some insight on your team and some of the many job functions that you all do.
Okay. When we are fully staffed, there are about 114 full and part-time staff members in the Marion County Public Library System. The vast majority of those staff members are the people that you see when you walk into a library. Mm-hmm. They're the folks sitting at the reference desks, answering questions, executing and planning programs, and doing circulation functions, which is issuing cards, checking books in, checking books out, sorting books, putting them back on the shelves. Mm-hmm. So the vast majority of those positions are who you see when you walk in the library.
Right.
There are a smaller number of folks who do behind-the-scenes kind of work. And we have a technical services division. Those are the folks who take care of our library catalog, who process books, order books, all of those kinds of things. And then we have administration,
right,
who oversees all of the management of the library system.
Well, and I know that COVID presented some challenges for your team and for the public in general in trying to access library services. So tell us how your team found some solution through those challenging times.
We immediately started offering virtual programs. Mm-hmm. The headquarters children's staff, by the time we would have had another in-person program when we decided everything needed to be closed, they had already had an online opportunity for children to come and have stories and do story time. So that was immediate. Mm-hmm. And we have since, in that year, expanded that, modified that, added to those virtual options, those kinds of things. We also pretty quickly instituted a curbside service. There was very little interruption in library service as a whole. We were closed completely for 2 weeks. Other than that, in some capacity, the libraries have been available. And even in those 2 weeks, people could still access library services from home because we do have a significant collection of digital materials that people can access from anywhere. And we added to them during that time. A lot of publishers and a lot of folks were very generous and gave access to additional materials during those times. So we provided those to our patrons as well. So we automatically just went and did what we could do.
Sure.
And patrons were very, very grateful for the opportunities to still get books to take home for their children, for themselves, because now here we are at home, right? We need things to do.
We do.
So they were very thankful for all of those opportunities. And since then, we have, as we are able, modified service. We now do a lot of registration that we didn't do before. As it was safe, we've tried to be very responsive to the local situation and offered programs as we were able and in ways that we are able through that. Like in the fall, we moved our story time outside.
Yeah.
So it was because it's safer outside.
That's right.
So we moved story time here at headquarters where we had a place outside where we could do it when the weather was sufficient. Because sometimes we can't do it in the summer. We can't do it in the winter. It's a little too cold to sit on the concrete in the winter and a little too hot in the summer.
That's right.
But in the spring and the fall, we took ourselves outside and we offered story time to families outside. And we've done some things where we very carefully manage where the numbers of people and the space between people. And we've tried to offer things as we could through this whole time.
Right. I saw some of the virtual offerings through Facebook that you all put out during COVID. And I thought they were really wonderful because, like you say, now we are at home. Our children at that time were at home with no option to return to the classroom. And so I think that provided a way for parents, especially who were trying to do the homeschool thing, you know, for the first time ever in our lives as parents, trying to also act as teacher, it gave some opportunity to still have that interaction and engagement. So I thought that was really innovative.
Well, we appreciate that. The other thing that a lot of people don't recognize is the copyright restrictions on those kinds of activities.
Right.
So publishers during that time were also very generous, but not limitless in their permissions. So as much as we wanted to, we are not able to read a book and save that. That violates the copyright that publishers offer. But we did everything we could otherwise, and we can do live programs and read books. We just can't save those. Mm-hmm. A lot of those programs are still going on because through the last year, we've had to continue to modify services. And this year, we're putting up our Extreme STEAM program for school-age children, which is our virtual summer program on the county's YouTube. So it's there. It's more easily found by families.
Right.
So we're excited about that.
I think despite the many challenges that we faced through COVID, we also realize that there are a lot of ways for us to reach a larger audience, be more accessible through, like you said, online forms and registrations and things that normally a person may have to either print something out, bring it in, or come in person. And so I think there's been a lot of really good things that have come out of this need to dive into a virtual world. And I like it. Even just this podcast coming out of something, you know, you're at home, you have some additional time, you think, okay, what are some other ways that we can reach an audience, share stories, talk to advertisers and people that are partners with Family Times. And so even this podcast is one of those great things that I think came out of that opportunity. So I'm excited that you guys have done that and are continuing to tap into some of those things to be able to reach an audience that may not be able to always get physically to your locations. I think that's exciting. And I know that the Marion County Public Library System is more than books. So tell us about some of the programs and services that the libraries and your team provide to our citizens.
Well, every library location offers programs for all ages. Depending on the size of the staff and the size of the location, there may be more or less numbers of programs, but everybody has story time. Everybody has a story time for little guys. Everyone has adult programs. Everybody offers something for teens. And in the pre-COVID world, those were all in person. Now it's a mixture. I think it will continue to be a mixture. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we found are book clubs do really well virtually. Outreach to classrooms do really well virtually. So there are things that will stay virtual. Many libraries also have meeting rooms that are available for the public. Those have been a little restricted as well because of a variety of things. But when we're back to business as usual, those meeting rooms are available for the public's use. We have computers in all of our locations. We have printers in all of our locations. We have Wi-Fi in all of our locations. Mm-hmm. There are volunteer opportunities in every library, 14 years and older, come volunteer at the library. We have a lot of wonderful opportunities.
That's great.
We always need help shelving books, putting books back, things like that, help with programs. And then we have special opportunities too. The Children's Division at headquarters facilitates a volunteer program called Library Express, and we train and recruit volunteers to go into Head Start classrooms and read. So it's a little visit from the library for Head Start classrooms, and it extends our reach much farther than just the staff of the library can reach. So we have a lot of opportunities like that.
I know during the census last year, the library was a huge help in making sure that, because for the first time ever, you could complete the census online, and not everyone has access to those computers or to Wi-Fi.
Or to internet.
Or to internet. Yeah, exactly. And so that was great that people could go to those locations and be able to complete something that was really critical to our community. And so I think it's great that you all provide that computer access. Is it free? How do you access the computers?
You just walk into a library location and say, I need a computer. You do not have to have a library card in Marion County to use our computers. They are available for anyone who needs to use one.
That's fantastic.
Printing is 10 cents a page. Okay. We have to cover the cost of the paper, but relatively speaking, it is absolutely free to use the computers and the Wi-Fi.
That's wonderful. I'm thinking about people who are looking for jobs and don't have access. That could be a huge resource.
It is.
And amazing.
We just partnered with United Way to help provide access for the housing reimbursements through the CARES Act. So we've been working with them to help make sure that folks have the computer access to do that. We were hoping, this was a program that was to happen in April of 2020. Mm-hmm. We were going to partner with the school system and help parents register their children for kindergarten, because that also has to be done online. So we were really looking forward to that program, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity to do that when we are able to.
That'll be a huge help. I know any help that parents can get, and I only have one child that I'm responsible for in the way of registering for sports and school and those types of things. So when you have multiple, any resource and any help is really greatly appreciated. So,
and libraries are open evenings and weekends. Schools are not.
That's right.
So, you know, registering your child, being able to plan to register your child on an evening or a Saturday is very helpful.
That's great. And, you know, Family Times Magazine loves being able to help promote the programs and services that the library provides. Anytime you pick up any of our issues, you'll find a page that has the Marion County Public Library events and happenings for those 2 months. And we're always very proud to promote those things, especially because we love to promote anything that's an advocate for learning and expanding your mind and doing something positive and constructive in nature. And so we always look forward to being able to share that. But we also know that these same programs and events can be found inside of Words Magazine, which is the library's own publication. So tell us about Words. Who is behind this wonderful resource, and how can people get their hands on it?
I appreciate that.
Sure.
Thanks. We appreciate Family Times and your support of library programs as well. It means a lot to us. Words is a quarterly publication that is written and edited by library staff and funded by the Friends of the Ocala Library.
Okay.
And it is published quarterly. It is a full-color magazine, and it contains a full calendar of every program and activity that is going on throughout the library system for that quarter. You can stop in any library and pick one up. It goes out in email to 70,000 plus library users who have email addresses on file, and it is also available on our website.
That's great.
And the website is library.marionfl.org. And there's the Words Magazine is right there, and just click on it and you can browse it digitally as well.
That's wonderful. And we know it's not easy publishing a magazine. It takes a lot of work. People think that it must just be so fun to put it together, and it is, but it is a lot. It's a lot of work. So I'm very impressed that in addition to everything else you guys are doing, that you have time to print not only a magazine, but such a beautiful quality publication. I think
it's
excellent.
Yeah. Thank you. We appreciate that. We are very proud of the Words Magazine. And we do work very hard, and we involve a lot of staff, which is also a great opportunity. You know, we have 114 people who, if they are skilled and have that desire, can write for the Words Magazine.
That's wonderful. So. Yeah, very good. So I do want to talk a little bit about books. Tell us how someone can obtain a library card. What is the process of doing that?
You need to fill out a library card application, which you can obtain at library locations, and you need proof of address. If you live or work in Marion County, you are eligible for a library card in Marion County. It is that simple.
Okay.
We put your name in there, as long as you have the proof of address. We put your name in there, and you're ready to go. A card not only accesses, when you say books, you know, we have books that are the physical books with the paper that we turn pages on.
Sure.
But now we also have electronic books and audio books that are all digital. So your library card gets you access to our physical collection, but also our digital collection, which includes all of the ebooks and databases and audio books.
Okay. How old do you have to be to get a library card?
You have to be born.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty simple. Good.
And your parent or guardian has to be willing to fill out the application for you.
Is there any limit on what you can check out at one time?
There is. I work with children. What we tell children is, well, as many as your parent will allow or 100.
Okay.
The checkout limit is actually 100 items.
Okay. I'm sure they're thinking, I don't know if I want to read 100 books, but
usually the parents are thinking, I don't want to keep track of 100
books. I don't want to keep up with or possibly lose 100 books. So how do late fees work? If someone does return something late, how does that work?
Well, that's another place where you'd really, you know, that 100 books makes a difference.
Yeah.
There's one day of grace. So if you're a day late, that's okay.
That's nice. That's nice of you.
After that, it's 15 cents a day with a $5 maximum per item.
Okay.
So.
And if someone just says, oops, I've lost this book.
Well, we do ask folks to pay for those books that they lose.
Rightfully so. Rightfully so. And it would be a good lesson for a young child who loses a book to have to pay for that or work it off and learn a little responsibility.
Right. I will never forget. I paid many, many years ago in a whole other state. I paid for a book that I looked for and looked for and looked for and looked for and looked for. And years later, found it under the seat of my car where we tell everyone to look for the books.
And I feel like we always do find that missing library book. It just happens to be 20 years later.
Right.
When you're thinking, what do I do at this point? Do I return it? Do I put it in one of the free little libraries in town?
Put it in a free little library. That's an excellent plan.
But I've done that myself. Moving into this home, I actually was going through some boxes that were in the attic. And sure enough, there was a library book with a little pocket in the back that had the paper that you'd stamp and fill out. And I thought, uh-oh, this book's probably $1 million right now. I better just not turn it in.
Right. I believe 12 months, you can actually get a refund if you find it within 12 months.
Okay. But 2 decades later, not so much.
No. Put it on your bookshelf.
What happens if somebody brings in a book that's been damaged or just over time a book gets worn? What happens?
Well, you know, like Lost, if you dropped it in the pool, we're probably going to ask you to pay for it. You know, if it comes back in a condition that we are unable to put it back on the shelf, then we are going to ask a patron to reimburse us for that item.
Sure.
Books, just like most things, have a life cycle, though. You know, they come and they're pretty and they're new and they smell nice and then they're loved a lot and they become worn. And so when a book gets to the point where it's just too loved or too out of date, sometimes there are, you know, there's information that changes and we have to remove books because they're no longer accurate.
Sure.
Those items are pulled from circulation and offered to our friends of the library for book sales so that they can then recycle some of that back into the library system.
I always wondered what happens to these old books. And I have had an opportunity to tour the library. And I did go back where I saw the little book elves that were working on some binding and doing some repairs. So there are opportunities to repair some of the books. That does happen.
Yes, yes, yes. Things become worn, things become damaged. Mm-hmm. We repair them and circulate them as long as it's reasonable to do so. And then, you know, at some point it's
time to go.
You've lived a good life.
Sure. You've served your purpose. Where do all these books come from at the library?
Each year we get a budget from the county to spend on materials, and that includes all of those digital materials.
Okay.
And items are selected by books. Let's talk about physical books because digital is, depending on what service it is, it comes a little bit differently. But the physical items that are in the libraries are selected by staff and by guidelines that are in our collection development policy.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things we consider are, will it be popular, you know, in our community? Is there important information in this book? Mm-hmm. Does it have some longevity? Because we do have limited funds. So we try not to invest heavily in every fad.
Right. Yes. Smart.
That comes along.
Very good.
So once we make recommendations, those books are purchased through a vendor that works mostly with school and public libraries, because some of those books also then come with some processing, some records that we can then use to help reduce the onus on staff once those items get there. And so then we put them into our system and they'll go out on the floor for families to borrow.
That's fantastic. Are there any age restrictions on certain books? Like, is there how movies have a rating? Is there any book that you say, you might be too young to check this book out?
That's a parent's job.
Okay.
In our opinion.
Okay.
There are library cards that you can choose to have a collection restricted library card for a minor. And that means your child can only check out books from the children's division.
That's good to know.
But there are also unrestricted library cards. And we feel very strongly that it's a parent's responsibility to know what's going on and to help them help their children make selections.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
that makes a lot of sense.
And we do have children's division and a young adult division and then the adult area. So that gives you a little bit of guidelines. Young adult is really 13 and up. So it's not, it sounds older than it is, but that gives you a little bit of guidance when you walk in the doors. Children's is here, young adult is there, and adult is over here. So we have them separated in that way, categorized in that way.
And I can tell you, in just visiting the library, having two younger stepdaughters and even younger nieces that have utilized the children's space within the library, it's really phenomenal. The little chairs and tables are set up, and there's bean bags, and I mean, there's just a lot of fun artwork. So it's very welcoming and inviting. And if you've not taken your child over there on a rainy day where they're bored and just kind of driving you crazy at home, I recommend heading to the library, you know, pulling some books, playing some games, just spending some time and really exploring it, because it is really a very inviting and wonderful place to spend some time.
We work very hard to support families whose children are in that very critical early literacy stage, that birth to three place, because it is so important.
Right.
So come on in. We have board books. You know, we can help you select items that are fun. We have DVDs you can borrow. We have story times that you can come to and learn songs and finger plays to do with your itty bitties. You can't be too young to visit the library with your little one.
That's true. Can citizens visit the library? If someone just is interested in a tour or kind of seeing the inner workings of the library, I know that there's a Citizens Academy and there's some formal things that people can, you know, apply for and participate in so that they can get a really good idea of how the library works, correct?
Yes. Anybody who wants to tour the library is welcome to give us a call and we will arrange for your group or, you know, individuals even to have a tour. We're happy to do that. To get that behind the scenes kind of look, the best way to do that is through the Citizens Academy, through the county. I mean, then you get to not only see the library, but also all the other departments of the county.
Right.
And so really, it's an investment of your time, but I think the return is well worth it.
Absolutely.
For that.
I think it really helps you appreciate, especially as a taxpayer and as a citizen, you know, it's very easy for us to sometimes complain about government, local government, and how they're working and how their money is being spent. But I think when you spend that time getting to know all the different departments and how they work and you see the staff working hard and you realize, man, this isn't just a matter of putting books on shelves. There's so much to this. There's so much to the different departments. I think it really helps the citizens appreciate more, not only where their tax dollars are going, but how they're being spent and how they're serving other people who live in this community. So I think that's a great opportunity for someone.
Right. The investment that's being made, you know, in the whole community, not just individuals or departments.
And I know that it takes a great deal of community support to have such a successful library system. So tell us about anyone, any groups that act as contributors that help make these libraries so successful.
Well, we have a number of community partners, Family Times, Heart of Florida Health Center, the Marion County Hospital District, Early Learning Coalition, PNC Bank. These are just a few of the many partners who partner with us to support programs, to help us get our message out. We do a lot with local partners. We also, every library location almost has a Friends of the Library group.
Okay.
And that Friends of the Library group is an organization whose purpose is to support the library and advocate for library services. Mm-hmm. So headquarters supports Marion, Fort McCoy, and Reddick.
Okay.
But then all the other libraries have their own Friends of the Library group. And those groups often sell those books we were talking about that were withdrawn to raise money to then put back into library programs and services. So we really, really appreciate and rely on those Friends of the Library.
Right.
Because they, in a normal summer when we have performers coming to the library and that kind of thing, all of those programs are paid for by the Friends of the Library.
Wow. And I know there's a bookstore inside of the main headquarters location.
There is.
It's a great bookstore. If you've not been in there, or, you know, you may not even think about that, but it's a great place to go and, like you say, find retired books or
donations. Community members absolutely. Make donations to the bookstores that we then turn around and, or the Friends of the Library turn around and sell so that they right. can support library programs.
It's so great to have all those partnerships. You know, we've had the Early Learning Coalition on as a guest. We've had the Marian Literacy Council on mm-hmm. as a guest. And it's just wonderful to hear them list off partners and you list off partners. And you realize a lot of those partners are very much woven together. It's definitely a working community, and it just makes me happy every time I am interviewing someone and they go down this list of partnerships, and it's like, man, what a great community we live in where so many people are helping so many other people.
It's true. And when there are big community events that when you go and you sit at the table, it's lovely to see how many people are here and how many mm-hmm. people care and how many people and organizations are willing to put their time
right.
and resources into improving our community.
Absolutely. Are there any programs or events that you want to mention that might be happening over the summer?
Funny you should ask.
Funny, yeah.
Libraries in summer have always been a big deal.
Yeah.
This year we are doing a variety of things. Many things are still virtual. There are a few in-person programs. But this year's theme is Tales and Tales.
Okay.
So it gives us a lot of opportunity to play with a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Adults, there's some really cool virtual programs right now for adults. There's a Cooks and Books virtual program that is matching local chefs with authors.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it's very fun. There's the book clubs that we were talking about virtually for adults. And there's also, we have a little virtual series about from Paws and Pages. A few years ago, we actually did events with Humane Society and Animal Services to help adoption and, mm-hmm. and information for pet ownership. And we're doing a little bit of that online fun. This year. So there's a couple of virtual programs about pet ownership. Those are really fun. There's some escape rooms for teens. There's Welcome to the Jungle. That's virtual. So those are a lot of fun. And then our children's programs, which are usually
right.
just the be-all and end-all of yes. the year. You know, you plan all year for summer. So the last couple of years, as I said, we've done primarily virtually. This year, there's a school-age program called Extreme STEAM Team, mm-hmm. and that is on the Marion County YouTube channel. That's all about science, technology, engineering, art, and math. At headquarters, we're doing Tales for Tots, which is our story times. They're Thursday mornings. Those are virtual. We have a virtual option Thursday morning, and we added a couple of Saturday in-person story times.
Oh, good.
We try to be responsive. When you're publishing a magazine, you have to make your decisions about programming well in advance.
Well in advance.
And so we had to make decisions for summer.
Right.
Weeks and months ago. So we've added a couple of in-person story times on Saturdays because it's safe to do so.
Right.
So we've added a couple of those. And then we at headquarters also on Wednesdays, we're having a Tales and Tales program where you can drop in anytime between 10 and 4. And we have activities for school-aged children and a little program that they
That's
can
great.
Then access there. And then also for the last several years, we have partnered with an organization that provides meals for children. And this year, almost every library location is offering break spot meals. So different days of the week, check out Words Magazine.
Okay.
You can stop by and pick up meals for children.
That's wonderful because we know that's a summertime problem for some families.
It is.
Yeah.
Children get a lot of food at school.
They do. Yeah. And I think that it's great that in addition to providing an opportunity for families to find something to do that's fun and engaging and positive, that issue is also being addressed. I think sometimes we just forget, you know, I mean, how blessed we are that we can, some of us can just kind of forget that that's an issue over the summer, but it's a huge issue that should yeah. be addressed. And I'm really glad to hear that you guys are working together with someone to make sure that that's addressed.
Thank you.
It's a big deal. In the turn of the next fiscal year, which I know happens in October, what plans does the county have for the library system?
Actually, it is an exciting year. The city of Ocala is building a community center in West Ocala. It's called the Mary Sue Rich Community Center at Reed Place. Mm-hmm. And we will be having a library location in that community center. So we are very excited
That's
that
great.
We're going to be able to serve that community more immediately
right.
Over there. So that's, you know, how opening dates go, but that's sure. on the books for 2022.
That's great.
So we're very excited about that. We are still working. There's a little plot of land outside the children's division at the headquarters Ocala Library that we are still working on putting some kind of outdoor space for families. I don't think that's going to be realized in 2022, but we're hoping to be making some progress on that.
That's good. Yeah, we're hoping for that. I got a little whisper of that not too long ago, and I've seen that space, and I think it'll be a great opportunity to just kind of extend the possibilities. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm glad to see that you guys are going inside of the Mary Sue Rich Community Center at Reed Place, because several years ago, I had the opportunity and was asked to sit on a panel of people that kind of provided some insight as to what we thought should go into that community center. And there was everything from, you know, libraries to gyms, computer labs, indoor playgrounds, and a variety of things. And I'm really glad to see that the library came out on top as one of the keepers, because I think it's such an important resource to have in that location when there's a lot of poverty there and there's not enough access to books and to resources and computers and things that could really benefit the people that live in that community.
Yeah,
so I think that's awesome.
To it. This is an area we've wanted to serve better
right.
for a very long time.
Right.
So we're very excited about
it. It took too long to happen, but going forward, it's happening. And that's really the exciting part of this whole thing. I think yeah. that's very, very exciting.
We're also really excited in 2022 to hopefully return to all of our in-person services
yes.
and have the opportunity to serve the community and rebuild all of those programs that we've all missed so much
yes.
the last year.
I'm sure.
Children react to facial expressions.
Yes.
And to have the difference in being able to interact with children in the last few weeks when we have been able and it has been safe to not necessarily wear a mask all the time has been just so heartwarming.
Right. Absolutely. It has. I wanted to ask you about a rumor.
I asked around.
You did ask around?
I did.
Okay. So you probably thought, well, what a crazy question. Is this even true? But growing up, there was a rumor where the Marion County Public Library was downtown, there was a basement.
Mm-hmm.
And the rumor was this basement was very haunted. And I know as a child, it always made me nervous even to get near kind of the entrance where the little
mm-hmm.
steps were to go down the basement.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd get intrigued. You'd want to go and get as close as you could to the door and hear if you could hear anything. Like, what was going on down there? As a child, I thought that was just kind of very spooky. And so I was wondering if you had heard that rumor, if that was kind of a thing amongst library, staff, that was a rumor. Had you heard that?
I had not. And I asked the folks who have been here for a very long
okay.
time. I asked Julie Sieg, the director, who's been at the library for 30 plus years, and some folks who have been there for 25. They had never heard this. Which everybody was very surprised. It was affectionately referred to by library staff as the dungeon.
Okay.
Maybe that got out.
There you go.
But I think also one of the things is being in Florida, you don't have basements very
right.
much. And basements are creepy.
They are.
I have lived in many places and I don't care where you are. Most basements, unless they're like beautiful and finished and have a lot of lights in them,
uh-huh.
are very creepy.
Yeah. Well, that gives
me
some relief.
This is apparently a rumor that was going along among the children of Marion County that the
yeah.
adults didn't know.
Yeah, and it could have very well been my parents told me that just to keep me in place and not wandering, because I was a very curious child. And so I wouldn't put it past me to have kind of just found myself wondering. Let people know where they can find information. You have a wonderful Facebook page and you guys have a wonderful web page. So give us some of those links and handles.
The Facebook page is Marion County Public Library System, Florida. There's many Marion
there
counties
are many.
In,
You're
the,
right.
in the United States.
You're right.
So be sure to put Florida in there. And the library website again is library.marionfl.org.
Okay.
And if you go there, you will go straight to the library webpage and be able to check a catalog and
okay.
access digital resources. And you can always give us a call at 671-8551.
Very good. And will the link to the YouTube channel be somewhere on your webpage or your Facebook page?
You will be able to access it through the Facebook page.
Okay.
I do not believe that at this time, the link to the YouTube pages on the webpage yet.
Okay. All right. Very good. And we'll also share out on Family Times Magazine page, we'll share out some links to your Facebook page and to your webpage so people can find it easily there as well. I want to thank you for being here today. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please make sure that you subscribe to this podcast so that you can get all of these wonderful podcasts delivered directly to you. And you can do that wherever you download your other favorite podcasts. So we want to thank you for being here. Thank you all for listening, and please have a wonderful day.
Thank you.